This is a Christian Science prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, website mbeinstitute.org. The topic is the system of divine metaphysics, and specifically the 32 planks that are provided to us by Mary Baker Eddy, beginning on page 330. This recording will focus on plank number 1 of 32. But before we begin with plank number 1, let us review the three introductory quotes at the beginning of the textbook. Mary Baker Eddy was the discoverer of Christian Science in 1866, and she begins the 700-page textbook, which is entitled Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, with three very important quotes. Number 1, by Jesus: "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Number 2, by Shakespeare: "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And number 3, by Mary Baker Eddy: "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou hear and everywhere." The first quote is pretty obvious. If we understand truth, we will not be ignorant. We will be getting rid of every belief that is about its opposite, which is error, anything erroneous. And the second quote, Shakespeare gives us some very excellent wisdom, telling us that our thinking is really the source of our experience. No matter what we are faced with, how are we going to think about it? The facts are the most important, and when we're presented with a suggestion, a thought, we first of all have to determine, is this fact or is it fiction? Is it godlike or is it ungodlike? And the third one, I believe this refers to the Bible. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. And it appears that Mary Baker Eddy could be referring to the fact that her every thought, speech, and action is engineered to be focusing on the truth, the laws of God, which of course are the laws of the universe, and what God is, and the relationship between God and man, and what man is. Genesis 1 tells us in verse 26 and 27 to let us make man in our image and our likeness. In verse 27, and so God made man in his image and in his likeness. What is that? What is the us, where it says let us? Well, let is asking us, do we have our consciousness open to the truth? And what is us? Mary Baker Eddy explains that in the Key to the Scriptures, chapter 15, stating that us is three very significant qualities of God: life, truth, and love. So are we going to reflect the qualities of life, truth, and love? Then we're going to be reflecting the motherhood, the fatherhood, and the sonship qualities of God. And if we do that, we can't go wrong. Jesus was the highest representative of the sonship. What do these three qualities represent? Life means we're living the qualities of God. Truth means that we are following life. We are the Son. And love means that we are nurturing all of the qualities of God, as a mother does. A mother nurtures her babe. Our babe is our consciousness. Let's look at one more thing before we begin with plank number 1. On page 146, is a paragraph that probably a very small decimal of people that claim to be Christian Scientists actually read that and understand what Mary Baker Eddy is telling us. It's very plain English. She says, divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healings was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. What is disease? Anything unlike God, a dis-ease, any kind of a conflict, anything that is not 100% balanced and harmonious. That is disease. That would include sin, sickness, and even death. It includes everything. And then on page 330, the introduction to the planks are as follows. She says there are 32 planks to the platform of divine metaphysics. When the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of the divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. Now, what does she mean by is when the 32 planks of the platform is? 32 is plural, but is singular, because what is the topic here? The platform. 32 planks comprise a unified platform. If we have one of them missing, then we don't have a complete platform. And if we have it complete, then what happens? It opens the door to demonstrating the infallibility of divine metaphysics. And what does that mean? It means that healing is automatic. What should our focus be? On a problem we have? Or on improving our spiritual understanding of God and man and the relationship? It's the latter. Because the healing comes forth automatically when we understand God and man and the relationship. It's like anyone that is performing any kind of a skill. You name it. It doesn't matter what it is. If they are really skilled and they perform whatever it is they're doing, it doesn't matter what they're doing. It could be a 12-year-old boy mowing the lawn. It could be a homemaker that has everything perfectly organized and does everything to perfection. It could be a rocket scientist. It could be a ditch digger. It could be a race car driver. It doesn't matter what it is. If you are abiding according to the principle of whatever it is you're involved in, and you are striving to master it, to show absolute perfection in what you're doing, then you're abiding by the laws of God. You're letting the principle guide you. Now, it obviously has to be something moral, and the more people that it benefits, the greater it is. But our duty is not to be in competition with anyone or anything, but to glorify God with the perfection of our understanding about who God is and God's manifestation, which is all one. And she says that by using the singular verb of is. 32 platforms is understood. So what is this first plank? The title is Deific Supremacy. A little information on the structure of the textbook. The title is Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Science and Health is chapters 1 through 14. And 13 is a summary of 1 to 13. And it's entitled, appropriately, Recapitulation. It's a recap of 1 to 13. On page 500 is the second part of the textbook, and that is entitled, Key to the Scriptures. And the textbook ends on page 700. So the chapters in 15, 16, and 17, and 18 are as follows. 15 is Genesis, meaning the beginning. 16 is Revelation or Apocalypse, which indicates the end. 17 is the glossary, and 18 is 101 pages of fruitage, testimonies that have been verified. Out of the thousands and thousands of testimonies that have been given and published in the Christian Science periodicals, which are primarily the Sentinel and the Journal, as of 1910, she selected 85 testifiers, and between those 85, they had 486 healings, and they're all verified and testified to within one testimony. But if you break it down, there are 485 total healings within that one testimony for each of the 85 people. So 85 testimonies, 486 healings by 85 individual verified testifiers. They were probably looking for one healing, and they found all these other things were healed at the same time without giving it a thought. Because why? They were focusing on improving their understanding of the very most important topic in the Bible and in science and health, and that is God. Why is God most important? Why is God more important than you and me? Because we are an image, as was read from Genesis chapter 1. We're an image of God. So our focus must be on what is God. Whenever we get disappointed in something that we see that looks like someone got off track, and it could very well be the one we see in the mirror, that's the one we should be focusing on, not anyone else. When we look at ourselves and we see we got off track, the very first thing we have to do is realize that our visible decoy is what comes from a mother's womb. The invisible life, birth, everything about it, everything about us as the image of God, comes from a source that is omnipresent, always exists, cannot die, cannot pass on, cannot go around the corner and disappear forever. Going around the corner or passing on merely just means that we are now on a different level than what we were before we passed on to a different dimension. Nothing happened. Jesus proved that when they crucified him, his body was the same as it was before. It had the gash in the side that Thomas was absolutely determined to put his hand in to make sure it was really there, that there was a hole from a lashing from a sword. He had to prove it. That's why he's called the Doubting Thomas. Even when he saw, the only way he could be convinced is look at the material evidence. Everyone's working out their own salvation. The last time I went swimming, I got wet. I wasn't walking on top of the water. I was like Peter. I'd love to do it. I've read about Jesus doing it. But I'm obviously not at the level of consciousness that Jesus was, or I would be able to do it. I would be able to show and prove that I had mastered the belief of material life, substance, and intelligence being in matter, and proven that it was not, but it was in spirit. A quick review of what the seven synonymous terms mean. The first one is mind, and that means anything to do with thinking, mental, any kind of mental activity. The second one is spirit, that has to do with substance, realizing that the only substance there is the opposite of what we think we see. In other words, it's the opposite of matter. Soul is spiritual sense. Why spiritual sense and not material sense? Because the only substance is spirit. The fourth one is principle. That is structure. And mind builds the system that goes with the structure. Life, already mentioned, that's living all the qualities of God. In other words, all the qualities of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life itself, truth, and love. And the more fully we express God by living more and more of those qualities, the more harmonious will be our entire existence. Further down, after verse 26 and 27 in Genesis chapter 1, it says that God gave man dominion over all the earth. Gave man dominion. Did he give a piece of it to this person and a piece of it to that person? If so, God would be depleting himself. At some point, he would not have anything left for anyone to reflect. Obviously, that is not what he did. He didn't give anything to anyone, because that's his definition. That's him. And of course, Mary Baker Eddy defines him as being mother, father. She says in the first verse of the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus says, "Our Father which art in heaven," she says, "Our Father, Mother, God." All harmonious. That's her sense of the first verse of the Lord's Prayer. So God is all the qualities of man, such as strength and courage and all those kinds of things, and everything that is also motherhood, which is kindness and gentleness and nurturing. As mentioned before, like nurturing a newborn babe. And our babe is our consciousness. Think about this. The entire 13 chapters, first 13 chapters of Science and Health, are the details. And chapter 14 is a recap of all the details of Christian Science. And the very first topic in chapter 14, and that's 24 questions and answers, is the format of chapter 14. And the very first question is, what is God? The answer? God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Mathematics has 10 digits. 0 through 9. It has four operators at the basic level: add, subtract, multiply, and divide. And if you apply any of those four operators to any of the 10 digits, that's called an algorithm. It's like a formula. What is 2 times 10? The answer is in the structure of the operators. If you've memorized any of the mathematical tables, you know, 1 times 1, 1 times 2, 1 times 3, and so forth, and then 2 times 1, 2 times 2, 2 times 3, 2 times 4, 3 times 1, 3 times 2, 3 times 3, and so forth. Then you will know just by referring to what you have learned. You don't have to calculate it out. You know what it is. Where do you think that ability comes from? Mind. And who is mind? God is mind. Do we have a separate mind? Well, we are credited with having a material-based mind called a brain, made out of some kind of a pulpy substance that sits inside our noggin, up above our shoulders. But what happens to the brain? First of all, where did it come from? Didn't it come from a female and a male uniting and producing some quantity of matter, and that going through a 9-month gestation period, which then forms a human that comes out of the mother's womb, and then it grows, matures, peaks out, declines, and then passes on, goes around the corner and becomes invisible. Everything disappears. The only thing left are the bones. What about God? What is the substance of God? Was God put together by a man and a woman getting together? Did Adam and Eve create God? Hardly. Did Adam and Eve create you, or me, or anyone? Hardly. But what do the churches say? They say yes. They say yes, and not only that, we were born a sinner. Because Adam and Eve, our human parents, were sinners. I would rather be the image and likeness of God that is described in Genesis chapter 1 than Genesis chapter 2. And what happens after God gave man dominion over all the earth? The sea and everything up in the air, the fowl, the birds, everybody, everything, whatever's in the ocean, whatever is down in the dirt. We have dominion over everything. Why? How could we have? What is the one key ingredient that enables dominion? It starts with an I. INTELLIGENCE. That's how we can have dominion. By reflecting the intelligence, the one intelligence that is the total intelligence of all existence. The intelligence of God. God is defined is omniscient. Omniscience means omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. No wonder the title to this first plank is the deific supremacy, because all intelligence comes from God. God is all intelligence. So He is supreme. And what are those four words before the seven synonymous terms for God in the definition? Incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite. Was Jesus God? Almost every church teaches that it is, that Jesus is God. They look to God as a personal savior, their personal God. They can talk to it, and it's going to do miracles for it. Did Jesus do miracles? Not a one. Not a single miracle did Jesus do. How do I know that? How can I say such an absurd thing that is in conflict with every church that you can probably come in contact with? There's an exception. But most people in that one church don't even know what they have. Einstein put it this way. When he was attending a Christian Science church, I think it was in Princeton, New Jersey, he says, "You people don't have any idea what you have here." He said, "Blessed art thou," referring to Mary Baker Eddy, "because everything that is in this book, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures." Everything that is, all the facts of the entire existence are contained in that one book. He spent his whole life researching physics. Based on what? Matter. Matter. And limitation. Time is limitation. Space is limitation. He spent his whole life on that. Only to find out that 80 years before, when he made this statement, that Mary Baker Eddy had discovered that that is all baloney. That the only real substance is spirit. Matter is nothing. Just like the physicists determined in quantum physics and quantum mechanics. Two different words for basically the same discovery. And that is that the atom is composed of energy. It is not composed of matter. There is nothing there. What do you think of that? It's the truth. Shakespeare says, "Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." They came to the conclusion that what the observers expected to see was what they saw. There was research done about sound and vision. They set up a bunch of cameras and microphones and recording, both video and audio, in the woods. And they wondered if no one was there to see it or hear it, what happened? What really happened? So they went back some time later, took all their equipment and everything with them, and checked out all the video and the sound, the audio recordings. What did they find? They were able to have videos of several trees that fell, and what happened? There was no sound. There was no sound because there was no one there that expected to hear it. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. There was no sound when a tree fell. What are we expecting? When we walk down the street, what are we expecting? Are we expecting to see perfection in everything we see, in every individual, every event? Or are we expecting to see an accident? If there's a ladder, maybe somebody working up on the wall of some building or something, and the ladder is on the sidewalk, are we afraid to walk under the ladder? There's superstition about walking under a ladder. Superstition about seeing a black cat. There's a superstition about everything. What do you want to believe? Do you want to believe what God is? Physicists have spent their entire lifetime trying to figure out what the base components are of the universe, the root notions. There's one individual that discovered what they were, and that was Mary Baker Eddy, by listening to God. And those are the seven synonymous terms for God. So no, God cannot be Jesus. Jesus cannot be God. That is a false representation of the truth. And it all stems from the Council of Nicaea that took place at 325 AD, whereby to get rid of Christianity because it was preventing the medical profession from making any progress, they broke up the division of control of the people between who would control what. And they said, okay, the churches can be in charge of sin, and they can charge the patient, you know, the pastor, the preacher, the priest, or whoever, rabbi, they can charge them, they can charge the individual for the fake thing of forgiving them for their sins. They have no authority, except we're giving them authority. And they give all of the rest of the authority regarding religion to the government. These were the governments of Italy, England, and France. So people believe that they're born a sinner, because they forget that Genesis chapter 2 says there went up a mist. And then it talks about Adam and Eve. How clearly can you see in a mist? I've been in a fog so thick you couldn't see your hand before your face. What are we going to believe? Are we going to believe that Jesus actually performed miracles? Are we going to believe what Mary Baker Eddy discovered and millions of Christian scientists have proven to be true by not going to doctors for their well-being, but striving to get a better and better understanding of God and man and the relationship, and performing healings for themselves and others, as did Jesus? A Pharisee asked Jesus, said, "Dear Master, how can I obtain eternal life?" It happened to be a Pharisee that was a tax collector, and apparently they got a piece of the action when they collected taxes, and they ended up being apparently one of the wealthiest class of people. And this guy had everything money could buy, but he wanted more. He wanted eternal life. So Jesus says, "Why call thou me good?" G-O-O-D. Because he said, "Good Master, how can I obtain eternal life?" Jesus says, there is only one good, and that is God. And then he went ahead and answered the question about how to obtain eternal life. The guy didn't like the answer, because he said, he was very wealthy. He said, "Sell all that thou hast and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me." Come and follow me. The guy figured, well, why do I want to even live if I have none of my wealth with me? I like all these servants and my houses and whatever else he had, chariots and horses and whatever they measured wealth by. Probably had gold, silver. No, I'm not giving that up. You're crazy, Jesus. I'm not interested in having eternal life. I'll take what I can get while I'm here. But most people believe that Jesus is God. And yet, Jesus says in his own words in the Bible that he's not. How does Mary Baker Eddy define the word good? It's in the glossary, chapter 17, on page 587. She defines it as God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresent, and omniaction. Wow. Omniaction. How can there be an action if God is in control of every action? Shakespeare gives us the answer. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Are we going to look at somebody that is involved in some conflict? And certainly an accident would be a conflict. If you're, you know, even if there was only like a vehicle accident and there was only one vehicle, you had a conflict with the dirt or the concrete wall or whatever it is that you banged into that was an accident. We all each have an opportunity to do whatever we want to with our thought about anything that we see or feel or taste or smell or hear. What does our thought say? Does our thought say that it's absolutely godlike, perfect, harmonious, pure? Or is there a little bit of conflict? Evil operates on deception. It operates on decoys. It functions by trying to take any unity it can find and divide and conquer. It mocks truth almost perfectly. But there's always an element of evil that can be detected. So you have to carefully examine anything that appears to be godlike to make sure you're not being tricked. We don't want to be tricked. We don't want to think of anything as a miracle. That's a trick. There's a science. That's what this is all about. The science behind the healings of Jesus is what the system of divine metaphysics is all about. She says that right there on page 330. I recited it. What do we want to believe? Here's the text she gives as a part of the plank number one, deific supremacy. God is infinite. The only life, substance, spirit, or soul, the only intelligence of the universe, including man. Including man. She doesn't say man is the intelligence. She says God is. I hath neither seen God nor his image and likeness. I hath neither seen God nor his image and likeness. That is what is deemed to be an organ that is called our visual organ, the optical organs, whatever they're called. It cannot even see God. I hath neither seen God nor his image and likeness. In other words, the real image and likeness of God, I cannot see. Why? Because God is idea. Just like a seven is an idea. We can't see a seven. We can see a symbol. If somebody writes down on a piece of paper the symbol of a seven, we can see that. But that paper can be destroyed very simply. It can be shredded. It can be burned. It can just be in damp climate. It can be soaked in water. And the ink would probably separate from the paper. I have neither seen God nor his image and likeness. Neither God nor the perfect man can be discerned by the material senses. The individuality of spirit, or the infinite, is unknown, and thus a knowledge of it is left either to human conjecture or to the revelation of divine science. What do you say? What do you think about that? An advanced student of Christian Science who has done a thorough study of the textbook and written an analysis from a scientific viewpoint of everything said in the textbook is John Sinton. And this is what he says about this paragraph on the deific supremacy. He says the deific supremacy is set forth through the qualifying use of infinite and the only. See, she has in the first sentence, God is infinite, the only life, substance, spirit, or soul, the only intelligence of the universe, including man. So he's repeating it here. The deific supremacy is set forth through the qualifying use of infinite and the only. Since the material senses cannot discern the divine being or supreme being, commonly called God. The question is, how can this one, that's capital O-N-E, be defined intelligently and demonstrably? The revelation of divine science alone can answer this and eliminate human conjecture. This is accomplished through synonymous and operational terms. What are the operators? Add, subtract, multiply, and divide are what math uses. What does the system of divine metaphysics use as operators? It's all in the book Revelation, the four sides of the city. Word, Christ, Christianity, science. The Word is all the facts about God. It's like that radio that Wentworth Winslow describes that only puts out the qualities about God. All the details. It's all about God. Christ. Jesus was a perfect example of the Christ. He wasn't the Christ. The Christ is the God consciousness. He reflected it to perfection. God can't give Christ away, otherwise he would be depleted. It is there for everyone to reflect. But we first of all have to reflect man as the image and likeness of God. That's the first stepping stone. On page 115 and 116, Mary Baker Eddy gives us the four levels of understanding. And that's the third dimension. There are three dimensions. The elements, which are the seven synonymous terms, the four operators, and the four levels of consciousness. On page 115 and 116, she describes depravity as the lowest. She calls it mortal mind, first degree. Second degree is moral. Third degree is spiritual. And the highest is immortal, which is God, man, God, idea, and man. So that's what we're working toward. She says, infinite progression is concrete being. If we're striving for concrete being, we're striving to have a better understanding of God, idea, which is the idea of God, and man. That's our goal. She says we're barraged all the time with mortal mind suggestions, and we must form a model in thought that we can revert to instantly to get our thought off of mortal mind suggestions and on to the truth about God and man and the relationship. Because there's nothing in between God and his image. Otherwise, if the image could be separated from God, God couldn't exist. There wouldn't be any source. A source without the manifestation doesn't exist as a source. But it says God made everything. That means you and me. And Mary Baker Eddy defines that to mean that God revealed everything. Because she says, she repeats what the Bible says. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So can you be new? Can a baby coming out of a mother's womb be new? The mortal picture is new. The misconception of truth about man is new, or woman, or child. That's new, but it's only a concept. It's the false view of reality. Reality is that man is spiritual, always has existed, and is composed of the qualities of God by reflection. Our intelligence is a reflection of the intelligence of God. Mary Baker Eddy asked Laura Sargent, one of her top right-hand people that lived in her home, and everybody that lived in the home with Mary Baker Eddy were there for one purpose and one purpose only: to promote the words and works of Mary Baker Eddy and the spiritual understanding of the Bible. They had to know how to overcome the belief of weather, that weather could interfere with their work. They had to know how to overcome the belief of electricity, knowing that it was matter, not spirit. Therefore, it had no power. Those two things they all had to do in order to be able to qualify to even be living with her. So whenever inclement weather would show its face, she would put a team of people to work to dispel the false belief about it, and it would disperse and go away. Same thing with Jesus. When there was a storm out on the water and he was asleep in the boat, the disciples were all concerned that they would crash the boat and they'd drown. He looks out over the water and says, "Peace, be still." That's what we should be striving for. God gave man dominion, it says, between verse 26 and 31 of Genesis chapter 1. God gave man dominion. What do you think omniscience is? The definition of God includes omniscience. Definition of good is God's spirit. Omnipotence, omniscience. Omniscience means it's omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. Mary Baker already asked her right-hand person, I started to say it a moment ago, Laura Sargent. She said, "Do you ever forget?" What do you think Laura Sargent told her? Remember, where does our mind come from? What is our mind? Our mind is the mind of God. There's only one mind. There can't be two competing minds. There can't be 8.3 billion competing minds. There is one mind. Otherwise, there could never be unity. There is one mind. There are 8.3 billion individualities, and we each reflect all the qualities of God in unique ways. Just like you can tell when someone says something, you can recognize the voice. Everyone is an individual. You can have supposedly identical twins. The mother can tell the difference. We're not looking closely enough, or we could also. There's going to be differences. There's no two people that are identical, let alone three or four or five. I don't know how many babies that one woman has had that were at the same time. I think it's up to five or six or something like that. How are we going to look upon everyone? Do we remember the golden rule? Do we want to be looked upon by utilizing the golden rule? Okay, the first paragraph by John Sinton was, "The deific supremacy is set forth through the qualifying use of infinite and the only." The second point, "Since the material senses cannot discern the divine being or supreme being, commonly called God, the question is, how can this one be defined intelligently and demonstrably? The revelation of divine science alone can answer this and eliminate human conjecture. This is accomplished through anonymous and operational terms. That's when we started talking, and that's the end of it. And that's when we started talking about the four operators. So the second operator is the Christ. What does the Christ do? What did Jesus do as reflecting the Christ? When he saw the blind man, did he see a man that was blind? When he saw Lazarus that was supposedly dead, did he see a man that was dead? How about any healing that he was involved in? Did he see them as having a problem? Or did he see them as the perfect image and likeness of God, as is stated in Genesis chapter 1? That's an easy question. Obviously, he had to be aware of the law that Einstein talks about, which he talked about many, many years after Jesus, because Einstein lived in the late 1800s to the mid-1900s, 2,000 years, 1,900 years after Jesus. And what did Einstein say? You cannot solve a problem on the same level as where the problem appeared. There it is. There it is. It's why Mary Baker Eddy gave us page 115 and 116 in the Scientific Science and Health, in the Science Christian Science textbook. He gives it right out to us. You can't solve a problem on the same level as where the problem appeared. You might have to go lower to get down to the root, or you might have to go higher. Somewhere along the line, between those four levels of understanding that were recited earlier, you'll find that there's a flaw in your understanding, in your sense of reasoning, and it has to be corrected in order to solve the problem. You can't have errors in your input, otherwise you get errors in the output, the conclusion, the result. It's not the fault of the algorithm, it's the fault of the value of the input that we're putting into the formula. A couple of other quotes that Einstein stated about Mary Baker Eddy. He said, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. Now, she discovered it in 1866, so that had to have been about 1946 that he said that. You see, a woman could not vote, could not hold title to property, barely had any rights. Let's look at these other adjectives. A piece of advice. Everything written with divine impetus has a very specific sequence. What is said before, what is said afterwards, helps you orient to what is in the text that is the topic. So you need to read before and after in order to try to understand what the text is telling you. In chapter 14, the recapitulation chapter, 24 questions and answers, the sequence of those questions and answers is absolutely mandatory to understand. Otherwise, you're missing a very important dimension. We want to use all five of the senses: seeing, hearing, feeling, smell, and taste. And we want to operate based on looking through the lens of spirit. So we're looking for spiritual seeing, spiritual hearing, and so forth. Spiritual seeing is perception, telling the difference between one thing and another. And what we want to know is the difference between truth and error, between true and false, between spiritual and material. And second, hearing is spiritual understanding. Think of that. Understanding comes from listening. Mary Baker Eddy waited sometimes 6 months for the correct word, a single word, to be delivered to her. 6 months. She says that in her writings. She doesn't take credit for the textbook at all. She said she was a scribe unto the orders of God. And all you have to do is study it a little bit, and you will see that it has many different layers, well, four to be exact, four different levels of understanding. Every time you read the same paragraph, you will have new information that you become aware of. It'll be a new revelation, a new level of understanding. And if you really want to learn what it's all about and to be able to heal, take a look at the home page, and it may not be there when you look at it, but if it isn't, it'll be in the menu under the E for effective healing, or under topics for effective healing, or under H for healing, maybe all three places. Effective healing. It gives you exactly the procedure to follow so that you will be able to heal anything you're faced with. It's an effective way to learn. I won't go into it here, but it's there right on the page. It's about effective healing. And also there's another title that says Heal Everything, a little more bold. Very true. It works. You will feel it. There are three excellent Christian Science practitioners over the years. They've all gone around the corner now. Obviously, Jesus is one. Mary Baker Eddy is one. They both healed instantaneously any problem that faced they became aware of, that they faced. And these other three, one of them is Frederick L. Rawson, who also discovered how to heal back in time. Wentworth Winslow and Joel Goldsmith. You must read about them on the website if you're interested in learning how to heal. The Institute knows a family that had four children, and the grandparents of the children were all healed of serious things. The grandmother of the mother had her vocal cords cut when she was in the hospital for some kind of surgery. She was healed. The vocal cords grew back. The parents, since they were 10 or 12 years old, were in Christian Science because of their parents having the healings. So the four children were all in Christian Science, and that's all they knew. They all went to a 12-year school. That was before they had kindergarten. And the school occasionally would have someone that had perfect attendance for 1 year. They never had any student that had perfect attendance for all 12 years. This family of four children had perfect attendance for all 12 years. There was a boy and three girls in the family. 12 years, perfect attendance. The father had been in business his whole adult life, never missed a day of work. The mother had all four children at home with the assistance of a midwife. Never a doctor involved. The children missed, well, you can imagine this was true because they didn't miss any days of school. The children absolutely skipped over all the so-called childhood diseases. They didn't miss a day. Nary a one of them. the mother, all of them had perfect health all the time. They had another great advantage. Because of the religion, they were able to be exempted from taking any class that had to do with the body. Any class that had to do with health instruction, you know. You got to do this and that and whatever to have good health. Anything to do with any kind of medical. That includes dentistry, optometry, regular medical doctors. All excluded. Is there a way to grade things to compare value in terms of these seven synonymous terms? Well, there's about 50 words on average for each of the seven packages. And Helen Wright, the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, has been since a young age of adulthood being completely committed to Christian Science. She was an avid writer. She was a ghostwriter for one of the more popular authors of writings on Christian Science. And she finally decided she would write under her own name. She's the only one we know of that has thoroughly analyzed the first edition of the textbook that was written in 1875. Because between 1875 and 1910, Mary Baker Eddy had 432 different editions of the textbook. The final edition in December of 1910 was never copyrighted. She left it uncopyrighted purposely because she says the topic is so vast, she wanted to leave the door open so that honest seekers of truth could write about their revelation without any fear of infringing upon a copyright. So make sure that if you're studying one of the editions, and we highly recommend the final edition, which was 1910, that it is uncopyrighted, because anything after that, the church bureaucracy copyrighted under the board of directors, which they didn't have the authority to do, but they did it anyway. Money under the table goes a long way in a corrupt judicial system, and that's what we've had in this country from day one. If you've ever seen the word Esquire signed by an attorney, that means that they have sworn to the oath of the Queen of England, not to the Constitution of the United States of America. Queen of England. They're swearing oath to the Queen of England. Can you imagine? Everyone thinks an attorney is supposed to be operating under the laws of the U.S. Constitution. It's a farce. They don't realize that they've signed their life away. Judges are attorneys. The American Bar Association, all big fraud. It's more a UK Bar Association. Think about the emphasis that Mary Baker Eddy puts on understanding the three-letter word G-O-D. And we can put another O in there. For good. That definition was recited. That's the whole key. As mentioned, physicists have, some of them have studied their whole life trying to come up with the whole root note, the root notions of what makes the world operate. Mary Baker Eddy describes it all in the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. This prayer treatment will be brought to a close citing a prayer treatment by Mary Baker Eddy, which she has termed with the words diapason of heaven. And she has seven of them, one for each of the seven synonymous terms. And in this one, we will focus on the first one, which is God. Mind. God as mind. Here is The Diapason of Heaven by Mary Baker Eddy. And if there's any additional thoughts after Amen is stated, they will be added. There may be a minute or two. I don't know whether something will come to me or not. But that's where it will be if it does come as a further revelation. Here's the prayer, Diapason of Heaven, with a focus on mind. She begins with a quote from Miscellaneous Writings, page 206. The real Christian Scientist is constantly accentuating harmony in word and deed, mentally and orally, perpetually repeating this Diapason of Heaven. Quote, good is my God, and my God is good. Love is my God, and my God is love. She continues, we can declare often, divine mind is my mind, and my mind is God. God is my mind, and my mind is good. I have an intelligent mind, a good mind, a wise, perceptive, discerning mind, a clear mind, a joyous, happy mind. Mind is God, all acting, all wise, all loving, all knowing, all seeing. Divine mind is enthroned in my consciousness. Mortal mind and matter and personal sense are not enthroned. Ignorance and apathy and materiality are not enthroned in my consciousness. Good is my mind, and my mind is good. Mind is my God, and my mind is good. Divine mind is enthroned. This is the Word of God. We have to change the subjective thinking we have of these seven names from personal sense to spiritual sense and see ourselves and others as spiritual individualities, not personalities. This way is the only way. It is the way the Bible characters walked with God and ascended. Amen. A couple of thoughts did arise. One is, Mary Baker Eddy devoted time every single hour of the day to take a few moments and make sure that she was only thinking good about everyone and everything. She was attacked constantly, just like Jesus. So it was important for her to keep her thought pure. And there's an article where she explains this. If you click on Mary Baker Eddy as an author in the menu, under articles, it's entitled The Secret. A second thought, if you have anything at all that you would like to ask a question about, send us a message through our contact form. And if you provide your phone number, we'll call you. If you're in the U.S. or Canada. If you're not, then you need to sign up for Telegram, and we'll call you through Telegram if you're not already using that service. Our contact form is encrypted, totally private, so you're welcome to ask anything that you would like to ask, and you can be assured that we guard it with total privacy. It is Monday, May 25, 2026, at 12:33, just after noon. And this has been a prayer treatment on the topic of plank number 1 of 32 of the System of Divine Metaphysics entitled The Deific Supremacy by Mary Baker Eddy, with further comments by John L. Sinton. Thank you for listening. The end.